My name is Lawrence Reyes, Chair Pro Temp of the Pacifica National Board of Elections Committee. Today is Monday, the 23rd of August. This is a continuation meeting. Although we did establish quorum in the previous meeting, so the quorum continues. Janine, do you have the names in front of you? I just opened my computer. Janine, do you have the names in front of you?
I can do my best to do the roll call off the email. Actually, no, I do with KPFTX. So,
okay.
We have Bill Crozer. Okay. Suzanne
DeSilva. She's not going to be able to make it, and neither is Akio Tanaka from KPFA.
William Hairwagon.
Yeah, present.
Thank you. Susie Moreno. Renee Penaloza.
Present.
Oh, thank you, Renee.
Sandra Rawline.
Sandra said that she is not a member of this committee, so don't include her in the quorum. In the preliminary quorum account.
Okay, Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
Present. Sean Rhodes.
I'm here.
All right, Sean. Thank you. I'm sorry about the miss of Sean.
Okay.
Janine Roan is myself and present. Mansoor Sabah. Okay. Keo Tanaka.
He's not going to be with us today.
Okay, right. And Andrea Turner.
I didn't get word from Andrea Turner, but I don't hear her. Go ahead, continue, please.
Well, we have 11, so there's 11 people in the committee then. I've reached the end of the list. So we have 11
people. Okay, so we did establish quorum. This is a continuation meeting, so the quorum continues from the previous meeting. I'm going to allow the members of the public to introduce themselves.
I'm glad to do that if you'd like.
Yes, please do, Raymond.
This is Raymond Goldstone, listener sponsor at KPFK.
Thank you, Raymond.
I'm Sue Cohen Johnson of KPFK, and I'm running for the LSB, and was a former membership director.
Hey, thank you, Sue. Next public member, listener member, or staff. I heard James Sagerton from KPFK, WBAI, and he's a director from WBAI. Are you still with us, James?
He's listening on the stream. Yeah.
I don't know if Otis has put us on the stream because he was in the middle of doing some errands. But the meeting is being recorded and will be posted afterwards. Okay. Any other member of the public want to introduce themselves?
Jonathan Markowitz.
Okay, Jonathan. Where are you from, Jonathan?
Los Angeles, KPFK listener.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. Anyone else?
I'm Carolyn Burden from WBAI.
Thank you, Carolyn, for being here today. Anyone else?
Louis Wolf from WPFW LSB.
Thank you, Louis. Anyone else? Okay. So I'm trying to pull up the previous agenda. Janine, you took some notes as the secretary pro temp. Thank you so much for doing that. I guess, hold on one second. Let me see if I could pull up this agenda.
It's posted on KPFTX.
Okay.
That meant there's a link.
Yeah, I just needed to refer to it, so hang in there.
But the posting of the motion itself is not up to date, is it?
What motion are you talking about? Who's that?
Sue from KPFK. Sorry.
That's okay. All right. All right, so we did the call to order. We have a volunteer secretary, Janine Rohn from KPFK. We have, I'm the chair pro temp. So the first order of business is to decide whether we should continue with the secretary pro temp, Janine Rohn. Are there any objections or any volunteers from the committee that are willing to take that task on? Okay, so we'll continue with that. Are there any members of the committee that are willing to take the task on as pro temp chair? Okay, so we'll dispense with that. I'll continue to re-elect the chair, permanent chair. Okay, and then Renee did send us a review of a ballot distribution, I believe, a few minutes ago. But
yeah.
Item five, Renee, is... go ahead, Renee. Is that you speaking, Renee?
No, it's...
Yeah. Oh.
I just wanted
okay,
to say
so
what's
let,
the committee...
Yeah, hold on, Renee, one second. Just as a form of housekeeping, there will be public comment and dispersed between each item. So if you're not a participant in the committee, please wait for public comment. Go ahead, Renee. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I just knew that that's been a question that I've gotten, and I figured I should provide it since there are a lot more postcards than were sent the last time around because of such a high email bounce rate. So I just wanted to show the breakdown because there's a lot of people like, where's my ballot? And then they get a postcard. Oh, so anyhow.
Okay. Thank you so much for
now
doing that, Renee.
The numbers. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Can that be distributed to the public as well, Renee?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, this is
okay.
Public information. Yeah,
I'll do that.
I could probably even post it on the website, you know, as part of a report. And, I should probably do that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So the next thing on the agenda, Renee, was questions in regards to and you did post, I believe you did send the last day for paper ballot requests, which is Friday, October the 1st, 2021. Last day for
correct.
Email ballot requests is Wednesday, 10/13/21. And voting ends on October 15th, 2021. Now, there was a question about it's posted at 10:59 p.m. Eastern Time. Is that a modification to the...
No, it should be 11:59. Is that...
Oh, 11,
that,
okay.
If that, it should be 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as has always been. You know, the vendors, we're all on the East Coast, so we're doing East Coast time for the purposes
okay.
of, the stop time.
Okay, thank you so much. And then you certify the results are due on Monday, 11/1/21. Is that correct?
That's correct, yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Should
then item number... Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead, Renee. I don't want to cut you off.
Oh, no. I was just saying that gives 2 weeks for the, you know, for the results to come in and ballots to be counted and tabulated and, yeah, so.
Okay. So that was item number five. Are there any questions or concerns from the committee members?
I have a question. I don't know if it's related to this or not. Carolyn Burns.
Is it the committee member?
WBAI.
Is this committee member?
Carolyn Burden. from being.
Okay, you're not a committee member. I asked for committee members. When I open for public comment, Carolyn, you'll
okay,
be. Are there any questions to the National Medical Supervisor in regards to this last item that I just read off? Okay, so in regards to this last item I just read off and Ms. Pinolosa responded to, are there any questions or concerns from the public for the National Medical Supervisor?
Jonathan on the stack, please.
Okay, I got Carolyn first, Jonathan, because she did pipe up first. Carolyn, Jonathan, anyone else? Okay, as a form of housekeeping, please be factual and succinct in regards to your questions and respectful. Okay, Carolyn, go ahead.
Thank you. Renee, hi, this is a follow-up to a note I sent. Last time I had a problem with not getting a ballot. I didn't get one this time. The problem was that the lists from WBAI had not been turned in to you. There were two lists lagging, and they eventually turned up after you believe I did a search. By what date do you have all of the lists from every station that you would consider absolutely complete? Do you have everything in hand, or is it still some coming in?
Everything. No, I take what they give me beforehand. I need to prepare the lists and clean them and combine them for the vendors 2 weeks ahead of the ballots going out. So I can't just accept more data like that. That's why we shift then to the ballot request form, which then I process each request coming in individually, and I think people may or may not be aware of the process that's behind that. I mean, I check it. I check in the database that I have currently. If it's not there, then I have to go to each individual membership department and request that they verify with their records, right? And then if they aren't found, then the member gets sent a notification. So most likely, if you filed a ballot request, you know, this is week one. I wait a little bit because some people don't see, you know, they don't see the first one. They see the second one. And then there's also a bunch of people who got postcards this time around as opposed to emails. But to answer your question, I have to have those lists in my hand like 2 weeks before the ballots go out to prepare them for the vendors. So, does that answer your question?
Well, not really, because last time you didn't have them in hand, and Bertold showed up with two lists that he had not.
Well, but Carolyn, there's no way of me knowing.
I know,
there's
I
no
know,
way
but
of,
I don't know
of,
what
of
to do
knowing.
Because I have.
Well,
all
you can do.
For,
I mean, I understand.
Right, I'm going to go with that with you in 1 second.
I understand you put in a request. I don't have a solution for how the membership departments are going to give me everything complete when they're always finding things that are incomplete. And this is not only at WBAI. This is nationwide. So but the most important thing is that I capture every single request. And as long as you file the ballot request form, I have your record and you will get a ballot.
Now.
So
okay.
We have 2 months, too. So.
Please mute if you don't have the floor. Star 6 if you're on the phone.
Thank you, Renee.
No problem.
Okay. And I forgot to mention that there's a 90-second rule. I'm going to extend it to 2 minutes. So the next person I have from the public is Jonathan Markowitz from KPFK. Jonathan? Jonathan, if you're muted, star 6, tell me.
Sorry. I wanted to find out, Renee, when you receive these membership lists, does that mean you have sent out, number one, that means when you receive these membership lists, you send out immediately email ballots on the first day of voting or just before the first day of voting? That's number one. And if you then find out that people did not receive them, then they're supposed to send in a request for an email ballot. Let me just ask you, how do you then verify the requested email ballots, membership data? If that person is not on the membership list to begin with, they would have received their email ballot. So how do you verify that membership data? And is it provided by the each station's membership department? That's the second question. The third point I want to tell you is that I have still not received my email ballot. I am not going to send in a request. Now, this is the same problem that happened to me during the referendum. Now, I happen to know for sure, because I spoke with Terry Guy at KPFK, I definitely have a valid membership, and all of my data is current. Otherwise, I would not be receiving email blasts from the executive director on every notice that she sends out. So Terry Guy informed me of this before the referendum, and I know my membership is still in good standing. So my email should have been submitted to you in those membership lists from KPFK before you sent them out. Yet I have still not received my email ballot. And the other question is, there's no way to know how many people have not received their email ballots unless they realize that they should have. Most of the listeners don't even know the election is happening because it's not been announced on air that I know of. And there is no access.
That's another agenda item. That we're going to address in the committee.
I'm sure it is.
So can you allow Ms. Pina-Rosa to answer your first two questions?
Yeah, so I know it's frustrating. You are most likely on the list, and, you know, for one
well,
reason or another.
Answer the question, Renee.
I am in the membership.
Jonathan, please hold on.
How am I supposed
I'll give you another
to
chance
you
to follow up.
Let me talk.
I'll give you a chance to follow Jonathan, but she did not interrupt you, so please do not interrupt her. Go ahead, Renee.
So first of all, the membership, as you're correct, Terry, he sends me the lists. The lists are not clean. I clean the lists. I combine them with all the lists from all the stations. I send them to the vendor, okay? Those are the first steps. And everybody that is set to get an email ballot gets one on the first day. Otherwise, if they don't have a valid email, so what I mean by valid email, and this is maybe something that's happening to you, and I can actually look it up, but if you don't file a request, I won't be able to look it up because I won't have a record of your request because I cannot keep track otherwise. We're talking about thousands of people. I'm one person. So I please ask you to file a request out of respect for my work and, you know, and to allow me to do my job. And so I get the what I mean by valid email is an email that's deliverable, not only an email that's, you know, a real email. So what happened this time around, the referendum actually, I think, impacted the deliverability of the lists overall. Over 7,000 emails bounced from the referendum list. And I was trying to prevent people from not getting their ballot because of this by removing those that bounced and by default sending them postcards. So you might get a postcard. You should have already, actually, if this was your case. There are lots of reasons why emails aren't being seen. I'm not sure what server you have. I'm not sure if they've somehow, you know, it's complicated, and it's not in my control. But all I can do, really, is make sure I'm really, really diligent with every single request that comes through, which is why I have an electronic form for people to file their requests and also a voicemail for people who don't have access to that. As for the on-air materials, there were materials up through last week, and now it's basically time for, you know, updated cards and everything, and I'm also working on getting the debates on air, but getting on-air debates with listener call-ins at all stations. That's kind of where I'm focused, and also with general carts, essentially, that get rotated more frequently with this type of information on it, in terms of how, if people didn't get their ballot, how they can get their ballot, what number to call, so on and so forth. You can interview Terry about this. I've been working with Terry since 2010, and we have a really good system in place where any request that comes in that of member who's not on the list, he verifies it, and he either finds them or he doesn't. When he doesn't find them, I follow up with the member, and if they have proof that they, submitted, the minimum payment in the appropriate time frame, then I take that back to Terry, and I'm like, look, what happened here? And the system is not perfect. You know, we miss people. Terry misses people. Everybody misses people. The important thing is to have a system in place to try to capture as many of those people as possible.
Hold on. Go ahead, Jonathan. I'm allowing you 30 seconds to follow up.
Okay. Somebody needs to mute their phone because there's a lot of noise.
Yeah, I already made that request. Please mute your phone if you're not speaking. Go ahead, Jonathan.
First of all, I have no problem receiving emails from anybody. Otherwise, I would not be receiving the Pacifica notices from the executive director. Okay, so I have no messages coming into spam. There's nobody that's reported that my email is bouncing. Yet you have no explanation either from Terry nor from your own understanding of why I would still not be receiving a ballot. It is, as far as I'm concerned, right now, there's a huge question mark as to how many people are not receiving their ballots who are bona fide members. You have not you have not answered specifically why this is happening, other than theoretically that people's email addresses, I'm talking about confirmed bona fide email addresses on the data of the membership lists.
Okay.
Now, there may be some older memberships of mine that may have had a different email address.
I literally just looked you
up. Can I please finish my statement?
Finish it up, Jonathan, but go ahead. You got to allow her to answer.
I'm sure that a lot of members have old email addresses going back 15 years, sometimes more than one, and obviously you would end up with doubles or quadruples of each member's data. And so the problem is that in this particular case, there's no why would the executive director be able to send me a notice without any problem, no bounces? Every time
okay,
she sends out a notice, I get all the notices from Pacifica. I've gotten correspondence from...
Summarize, please. Go ahead.
It's a direct question, Renee.
All right. I'm Espinosa.
I just looked you up in the database, and you're in it, and you have gotten an e-ballot to your Yahoo account. So it went to your spam folder, and you've got to look for it. And if you don't find it, then file a ballot request. I'm literally looking at your name.
Not received any
database.
Email from you, nor been checking spam folder.
Check
spam.
Check it again. That's all I have to say. Or file a ballot request, and I will send it to you.
Okay. So in the interest of an olive branch,
That doesn't answer the question, Renee.
Jonathan, please, Jonathan, she's doing the best she can to answer the question. So I think the other option you have, if you don't want to file an electronic ballot request, is to leave her voicemail.
I'm not going to send a ballot request until this question is answered. How could...
So we're going to move on. She did the best she can to answer your question. She did notify you that your ballot request, your ballot has been emailed. So I would suggest that you look again in your email. And if you don't want to file an electronic request, then
currently there's no way to know how many people are not receiving.
Okay, I'm not going to get into this, Jonathan. That's why I you could put yourself again on the stack, but I'm gonna move on. Anyone else that want to ask Ms. Pino Losa any questions about item number 5 that I just read off?
Angela to the stack.
Who's that?
Janine to the stack.
Okay. Who was the first one to ask for the stack?
Angela.
Angela? Oh, go ahead, Angela, and then you, Janine. Go ahead, Angela.
Yes, I have a question along the same question is that for staff members, just like in the referendum, several staff did not receive their ballot. Several requested the ballot. Some were successful. Some were not to get a ballot. And so for this, where folks are running as staff candidates and every staff vote counts, and it's a smaller pool of people than the membership. So how, other than the ballot request, which obviously did not work for some people, what is the recourse that staff members have to make sure to get a ballot?
Okay, thank you.
Well, I mean, basically, once they file it, if they don't get it, then they have to contact me. That's it. But I literally send personal emails to people with their ballot. I at some point I need to start doing that because the vendor the for some reason people don't get it, so then I have to resort to essentially going one by one and person by person, and I'm sure you can collect testimonies of thousands of people that have received personal emails from me. So, you know, that's basically it. And the thing is about the staff, they shouldn't wait till the last minute. They need to get on top of it right now, because a lot of times what happens is that, you know, they let it slide and then it's too late. That tends to be kind of the general behavior of all staff. I would encourage everybody to start this process right now. And so that I can help everybody.
Thank you, Renee.
Basically it. Yeah.
Thank you, Renee. Angela, does that address your concern?
For now,
Angela,
yes.
Does...
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yes.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Janine?
Hi.
You have the call.
I guess one of the things I'm thinking about as we realize that there are people that haven't received their ballots and that whatever, they've slipped through the cracks for whatever reason. We have a whole committee, you know, we have 11 people on this committee, and I know early on we had asked if we could help the process at all. I personally am a candidate, so I'm not really impartial or may not be viewed that way. But couldn't we, have a set of volunteers to go through the membership and make sure that everybody knows that they were sent a ballot and find out if they had received it and CC, you know, like an email where they CC you or some kind of confirmation that the ballots have been received and acknowledged.
So, I mean, I definitely could use the help of the committee for sure, but I know that when I... Sorry, were you finished?
Oops, yeah.
Yeah, she's better, probably.
Okay. I think it's a good idea. The problem is we have to consider different things. We have to consider privacy. We have to consider, you know, also, there's a lot of things, but I do think that there is definitely a role, especially for people in the case where, for example, I see that their email bounced, they're not receiving, they're also, I'm getting bounced back from my personal email, and then something's wrong with their address, too. So it's like there are certain cases where, like, I have, so these are the people that should be, like, called, you know, but not everybody needs to be called. calls. Like, it really should be the segment focus, because it's a lot of members, you know. So I think that we can do that, and I'm more than willing to. I really wanted to work with the election committee starting in the referendum. I set up meetings. I spent a lot of time creating different documents to help us work all together, and then nobody showed up for the meetings. There was basically a general, I don't really care about this feeling, and I had to move on and just do my job, you know? So, you know, I don't want that to happen again. So if people really want to help, then, you know, you kind of have to sign up for the commitment of helping and actually not just say you're going to help and then flake. So, you know, I don't have time for that, but I welcome help, and I can use it definitely in this case in terms of outreach.
Okay, thank you, Renee. And let me just verify that during the referendum, Renee did reach out for help. And there was a few people that did volunteer and help. But we could try to get a list together for you, Renee, on behalf of the committee. Would you be open to accepting some members of the public that are present today? Or can we
Definitely. I think we can, sure. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Janine, are you done yet, Janine?
Well, I take offense to that because I'm looking right now in my outgoing emails to Renee starting in May, and three times in May, I was available at the beginning of June. I contacted her then. We tried to get a meeting in July. She said she was too busy. So I don't mean to be confrontational.
Hold on.
That's not a fair statement. There was one Zoom call, and then you put up a Google document that was very confusing as to how to sign up for any of these tasks that you had on hand. You had a Google Doc with tasks, but it didn't make sense to me, and I checked it out. And so when I checked it out and didn't understand it, I thought maybe other people had the same issue, and I asked you when the next meeting was, and your answer was there was no other meeting that you didn't want to put the effort into.
Because at that point, it was the timing of it. It was too late. I mean, think about what I had to manage in my hand.
You don't understand the
magnitude of what I was managing at the time. And I also take offense to the fact that you say that I didn't provide. It wasn't just a Google Doc. I literally provided multiple. I mean, a whole series. And that one Zoom call, I basically had to hold the same meeting twice in a row because people failed to show up on time. And I'm sorry, but I don't have time for that. You know, I'm not trying to say you personally reached out multiple times. But the thing is, it was the timing of it. I needed help when we started that Zoom call. And then you didn't reach out because you were busy. And everybody's busy, and I understand that. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, please don't take any of this personally. But that's, you know, I felt... There's all this talk of we want to help this, that, and the other, but there wasn't a follow through when I really put a big concerted, I put a big effort into that one meeting because this is the way I work. I work efficiently. And when nobody showed up, I sent this around to everybody, and I even tried to schedule a follow up, but I did not receive any buy-in from anybody. So at that point, I just needed to move on because put yourself in my shoes. I've been doing the referendum and the delegate election simultaneously since March.
Let me intervene.
Thank you.
All right, hold on, Carolyn. Let me just intervene real quick. Let me be clear that I received emails doing a referendum, and what I'm verifying, Janine, and I don't mean to offend anyone, in particular you, Janine, was that Renee did reach out to the proponents of the yes and the no campaign during the referendum for help, and she did it various times. And that's what I'm confirming. That's what I'm verifying. I'm not verifying. I think this is a great start that she came to the Elections Committee and is open to us helping her, and is open to the public being involved as well, which I think is a sea change in regards to, for lack of a better word, the inertia of this election that we're in right now. And believe me, I know Renee was overwhelmed with the referendum, and I hope I don't mischaracterize you, Renee, but I know that that was a lot of work. And she did reach out in regards to that from both the yes campaign on the referendum and the no campaign on the referendum. So that's what I'm verifying. I'm not verifying anything else. So we are back on the new page, and so I hope that we can move forward in regards to that. Janine, are you done? Yeah, go ahead, Janine.
Right. I mean, I certainly, and I even said this on the meeting on Saturday, I know that how big the job is. I guess my feeling is that right now, if we feel that because of being overwhelmed, that this process has been compromised, my feeling is that, you know, so at some point, there should have been some outreach to the PNB even. If you felt like you didn't have enough committee members, and I know there was only out of the 11, when I was on the Zoom call, I think it was just me and one other person and Lawrence. So I get what you're saying. So, but if you didn't have the help you needed, then you know what I mean? Like they, you know, they should have been made aware, because right now we have ballots out and we're not sure that, you know, everyone's been hit, and it's really troubling.
Well, I don't think that there's a there. I everybody's getting their ballots. We have 2 months. I don't think there's a crisis here. So that's the thing. Like, I've only gotten a couple hundred of ballot requests. You know, it's not like people are definitely getting their ballots. But I do think that there is definitely a place for participation. I always encourage participation, but the thing is, it's also work for me to organize a group of people, and to supervise them. Like, it's not, and I love getting people involved, and I think it's invaluable, but when certain things have to get done quickly, and my job, and I have a deadline to meet, and they're vendors, and they're like all bunch of things to do, and nobody's showing up to a meeting, it seems futile. So, I mean, what I would like to put forward is a regular scheduled meeting once a week with the Elections Committee. I will commit to that, 1 hour a week, and where we can convene and brainstorm and work together. I would love to do that. Like, that's and that way we can really work together, but we need a commitment, and we need a schedule, you know.
So, Renee, I, as the chair pro temp, and I'm not a candidate, so I don't have any, I am advocating for the candidates. I am advocating for a democratic election, and that, that all candidates are enfranchised, and that all listeners are informed and enfranchised as well. So I would definitely accept your request. I was thinking of calling for another meeting of this committee. So I'm definitely open to that, and I appreciate that proposal. Janine, are you done?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, I think I heard Carolyn. Carolyn?
Right.
And then we're going to move on, because time is precious. Then we're going to move on, because there's some items that I really want the National Election Supervisor to respond to. But, Carolyn.
Well, I want the National Election Supervisor to respond to these. I have several questions, Renee. One is, when I was chair of the Elections Committee many years ago, we passed a motion that claimed that every general manager had to send out a list and clean
hold
the
on,
list.
Hold on, Carolyn, hold on. Somebody needs to mute.
Yes.
Please mute if you're not speaking. Start saying if you're on the phone. Thank you. Or Janine, you could also mute them.
I'm muted.
It's quite deliberate. Somebody is interfering with this meeting.
Please, star six, if you don't have the floor, to mute. Go ahead, Carolyn. Just you're with the peanut gallery. Go ahead, Carolyn.
All right. The general managers were charged with cleaning the list in the summer before every LSB election by sending out a first-class mailing and getting a response back with corrections of, among other things, telephone numbers and now email addresses. If anybody had been doing that, Renee's job would have been cut in by 80%, I'm sure. So I'd like maybe this committee could enforce that, get the P&B to pass such a donation. Number two, I'm wondering if you have every list the last date by which the general manager actually made an attempt to update the list, including phone numbers and email addresses. I suspect the answer is no, so maybe I'm suggesting that you might demand that you get a list that's been validated in the last 2 months preceding your receipt of it.
All right, Carolyn. Make your next point.
Hello?
Go ahead and make your next point, Carolyn.
I'm trying to make a statement, if I may. What is the real problem here is on-air statements. What is the protocol for enforcing on-air
statements?
That's
a missed item, Carolyn. Hold on, please.
That's my question to right now.
Okay, and when we get to that item, you could ask that question. I remember you from the Elections Committee. We were on the Elections Committee together those years. Okay.
You remember that?
Yeah. A lot of the stuff that's being said is the kind of work that this committee needs to do to support the National Elections Supervisor in order for us to have a successful election. Right? So, Carolyn, are you willing to volunteer to be on the work group that's going to help the National Elections Supervisor?
Well, I would like to do that. I'd like also to be on this committee. Does it accept ad hoc members? I know some committees do and some do not.
No, we create a task force that allows us to have volunteers, as you know. So we'll create a task force.
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll create a task force. Any other public members want to be on this task force?
Serene.
Please take the names. Hold on, Sue. Hold on. Please take the names of Sue Cohen from KPFK, Serene Robbins from WBAI, Alan Burden from WBAI, myself from KPFK, and any other members of the public want to be on this committee. And then any other committee members want to be on this task force?
Angela Sanchez from KPFT.
Okay, Angela Sanchez from KPFT.
I was getting on the stack.
Is that Sue? Yes,
yeah,
Sue. You will get on the stack. But I just want to memorialize this. I don't want to forget that the National Elections Supervisors is open to working with a task force from this committee. Okay? So that's why I kind of put you on hold for a second. But I'd like to move on to the next item. But I'm going to go to you, Sue, for comment.
Lawrence,
go ahead, Sue. Yeah.
Lawrence, sorry, this is Janine. When we spoke about this on Saturday, both William and also volunteered.
Hold on, please. Hold on. Somebody mute themselves.
They're in.
Please.
Lawrence,
go ahead. Go ahead, Jenny.
You asked for any other members who had volunteered. William and I had volunteered on Saturday.
Okay.
So I wanted to make sure we were included.
No, I was just taking the names from the public that are going to be on the task force, Jenny. So So myself, you, and William are going to be on the task force as well. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Is that okay with you, Renee? I don't know how much more time you have, Renee. Hey, I have two more questions for you. Can
okay.
you stick around?
That's fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm here.
Thank you. Okay, so go ahead, Sue. Go ahead, Sue.
If you send out a mailing to the membership, it may cost $10,000 or a lot more by now. But Terry usually is able to combine things with a direct mail or a renewal mail or something. But how did it get to be the manager's job instead of the membership director? Is that true?
Go ahead, Renee.
honestly, I don't. The lists that are given to me are actually usually not clean, so then it becomes my job. I didn't know that actually there was a motion that was passed that it was supposed to be the manager to clean the lists. I don't see how feasible that is, because it is, how to say this? Right now, for example, at WBAI and at every station, from my understanding, everybody's switching to Allegiance, and everybody has a membership department. From my understanding, there's Chris at WBAI, Robin at KPSP, Terry. Anyway, so I interface not with the managers, but with the membership departments to get the list. The managers are.
I think that answers the question,
yeah.
Sue. Does that answer your question, Sue?
Yeah.
Thank you, Sue. Okay.
But $10,000. $10,000.
All right, we're going to move on. So we have a task force that's going to work with the National Register Supervisor. Any other members of the public want to bite at this apple before I move on to the next agenda item, which is as important? We have two more questions left, so.
Okay. This is Serene. I have a question for Renee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'd also like to point out that when you were asking for people to mute earlier, Carolyn Burden shouted out my name. My phone was muted, and it would be a good idea if she wouldn't do that in general. Everyone is supposed to be using Allegiance now, but I don't know that everyone has the same level of knowledge of Allegiance. And I'm wondering whether, I mean, I guess it could come through the task force, but I'm also wondering whether you are aware of any uniform queries and uniform process that they're using to make sure they get everyone. There are people who pay in installments. There are people who text money. There are people who may be, you know, contributing $10 a month. So if you run a query that says, tell me everyone who contributed $25 in the past 12 months, they may be looking for a lump sum rather than a cumulative amount, in which case they'd
right.
be missing a whole lot of people. So do you know how
yeah.
uniform
well, so,
they are?
Well, actually, because of that very reason, prior to this round specifically, I just asked for every record, irrespective of donation amount, because of that. And people were still missed. So actually this time around, I asked for them to consolidate it, but not to cut any data based on donation amount. So I actually have everybody everybody that they give me, I ask them to quote unquote clean the list by consolidating, you know, down to as much as they can, one member per, basically one record per member instead of multiple records per member, basically all the donations. I asked for that consolidated database for the first time actually
this year, every station gave me, quote-unquote, consolidated database except KPFA, because they have two databases running right now, and so it's very complicated for them to combine them, so and they haven't figured that out yet, so I do it. So does that answer your question? So basically, the only queries are the date cutoffs. That's it.
I think that our staff, and not every station has a membership department. Some people have one part-time person doing certain things. That since we're all at this point using Allegiance, that it should be possible for either working with someone from Allegiance and then, you know, with the station management, or there should be a way that you don't end up having to prepare anybody's list. Each station needs to learn how to manage its own list.
Definitely, I agree. But the problem is it's at the very data entry. The problem is at the data entry level, because the data is entered so poorly. And so, you know, it's kind of like, you know, what's the saying? I don't want to use bad words, but
garbage in, garbage out.
Like, exactly, garbage in, garbage out. I mean, you know, it's at that level. And actually, this committee, I think that should be a really big part. Is if you want to help improve membership lists, is come up with a way to have a training for volunteers that end up working in the fund drive, fund room, you know, to help them enter the data correctly, or maybe people are working with call centers, you know, because the data comes in from so many different people, and they're not necessarily entering it precisely and know and have the knowledge that they have to check ahead of time whether or not the member already exists in the database, so on and so forth. So, you know,
can I interject real quick? Can you send us a list of the things that you think the task force could help you with, and we'll in turn will respond to that, and we will also put a list together. Is that a workable thing for you?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. This, what I was just talking about, is a bigger picture thing. It's a more long-term thing, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So we'll prioritize those things that you sent us, or you could prioritize them, and, you know, and then we'll negotiate in regards to that. So in regards to the question, Serene, I'm sorry, Serene, are you done?
I can stop. I'm never done.
Okay. All right. So you're going to stop. Thank you. So my concern is about request for waivers. And I know the cash contribution and the volunteer hours are, but I also want to get a response for you in regards to, are you going to honor requests for waivers as codified in the bylaws?
I mean, if the member is approved by the, you know, for a waiver, yes, of course. I mean, but it has only happened a couple of times. You know,
yes,
like,
I think a lot of members don't know. So I don't know if you could include that maybe in your next. We'll put that on the list. How's that, Faye? If you could include that in your next blast in regards to the. So we'll move on. Anyone else from the public want to ask Renee any questions?
I have one question, Carolyn, here.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
At the most recent, maybe two meetings ago, our general manager said that there was a problem with Allegiance that they had not yet solved at WBAI, and I don't know what the problem was. I don't know if it's been solved, but perhaps, Renee, that was the problem with the list that I'm complaining about, my particular ballot problem. But perhaps there should be someone from Allegiance hired specifically to go around to stations that have not yet learned how to master the entire program. The AI should be first. Evidently, we had some problems bringing that up
okay.
to speed.
Mm-hmm. I think a good idea, a good practice for to look at the whole network. Mm-hmm. Those who have incorporated Allegiance into their membership databases, I think that's something that should be on the list as well. Okay. So the next item on the agenda, Renee, and this is the final question. The next item is discussion of on-air election information. This is an item that's a committee of the whole. We'll take 15 minutes on this item. I've gotten a lot of emails and concerns about the lack of an exchange between candidates and the membership, the station memberships. The cards, our candidate cards, not being there on a regular basis, and I'm sure other people will have other concerns as well. Can you respond to that, Renee, and then we'll open it up
sure.
for the committee
yeah,
and then to the public.
Sure. So first, I kind of want to first explain what my overarching strategy was. So before the ballots went out, we coordinated, debates at all stations, pre-produced everything so that when the ballots went out, there was something for people to see beyond the statements, right? So that's the YouTube channel and has all the debates and it has a lot of the statements. Not everybody participated, so that was the limitation. So that's the first thing. I want to say that there's a ton of content out there. A lot of time and energy went into creating that content, and that could be used and much widely distributed, especially very valuable since 99% of people cast e-ballots. In terms of the on-air requirements, WBAI did meet its requirement, and I am pushing for the same thing at the other stations in terms of having an on-air Zoom live stream debate with or forum, doesn't have to be a debate, open to the listener public for answers. That I'm working on that at all the other stations. And that to me is the most important thing. Candidate cards. Problem with candidate cards is, okay, I'm an audio engineer, right? And this is a radio network. I have an issue with the quality of the cards, and I think a lot of people will have an issue with the quality of the cards. If it was just one or two cards, that would be okay, but you're talking about a huge volume of cards, and to put that on air repetitively, so that's one thing. There's the quality issue, but then there's also ensuring the fairness of rotation issue, right? Because we're talking about all of these cards, KPFK is the best example because of the sheer number of candidates, getting aired at an equivalent time during the day with the same frequency. That is a nightmare to monitor. So those two things combined I've been, trying to figure out, okay, what does it say in the bylaws and what is, so it says candidates, will have basically equal opportunity for their statements. I'm not reading it right off. Maybe somebody has it in front of them. I should probably read it correctly.
Are you talking about Article 4, Section 6?
Yes, Article 4, Section 6. Let me look it up. Here. Blah, 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 blah. Where is it? No, it's not in that. That's anyway, it's basically the airtime and candidate statements and an opportunity for people to call in, right? Now, the candidate statements, because of the reason I just said, I am considering, and I know this is different from what's been done in the past, for all the cards or just all the cards across the board, I can voice them or I can have other people voice them with different voices, just have multiple people with different. The problem is the production of a high-quality card across the board in such a short time span, and then ensuring that they're aired at the same time or a similar time of the day and the same frequency. This is the puzzle that I'm trying to figure out how to, you know, so my right now, so that's a puzzle, right? So that's kind of up for debate and, you know, I'm open to people's suggestions. What I am working on avidly right now is getting on air forums or debates with listener call-ins at all the other stations that haven't had it yet. That's in process, and also obviously general election cards, which should be airing today, but they will be. Let's see what else. What else? I think I got across my point right now. So.
Okay, thank you. So I just want to put myself on the fact real quick. I think it's somewhat of a disservice to refer our listeners or those who are digitally challenged. We have 5 stations. We have a radio network. We do not have embedded YouTube channels on each of our station websites. So I don't understand why send people to YouTube. Anyway, I'm looking forward to working with boss working with you to deal with that, because I don't understand how that could be a possible option to educate listeners on in regards to candidates or positions. So can you respond to that?
Well, I mean, it's just that is there as content. It's good content. It's debate. It's definitely representative of the candidates themselves. We were able to do it in a way where, you know, we're just harnessing, using the resources that we have at our and that haven't been really used before, which is the internet. And I think by and large, when we look at how Pacifica is moving, we all know that Pacifica has to move forward on that plane, right? So you know, moving more, and I'm not saying that this is the only election content, but this is just content that's already there. And because we've shifted already pretty much 100% to e-ballots, and I understand that there are still people that have, you know, issues with, you know, getting online. But come on, I mean, how many people use YouTube? Pretty much everybody. So, you know, I understand that there are people that don't. And obviously that's why, you know, there's still this on-air piece. But we do have to recognize the reality of the world, you know, and the reality of how many people vote by e-ballot, and just the technical challenge it is to get content on air that's, you know, that's, as I said, quality and fair. So
I mean, I don't have a problem with looking into the future and us becoming a multimedia network, right? I'm definitely all for that. I'm told by my son on a regular basis that we are completely behind in the times. But I just have a difficulty squaring this with such and such of the fair campaign provisions in regards to using our radio, our airtime, our air for candidates that have that platform to educate voters in regards to the positions that they have. So,
right. I'm not saying that we won't those, and I'm trying to figure out a way that we can do this, you know, where we're producing really quality content that candidates can shine in that, you know, because the worst thing is to hear a you know, when you're on a meeting and then somebody doesn't press the mute button and you have this harsh, it's not pleasant to listen to that. And you know, people are also affected by people's voices. So like having a quality audio, it is a radio. We have to think about production. We have to think about quality. like, this to me is, and I think this is also one of the reasons why historically this whole process has received a pushback from management at all levels, because of the disconnect of prioritizing production, you know? So anyway, that's what I have to say about that. And what, but secondly, I'm not saying that that YouTube channel is in the place of online material. As I said, WBAI did have theirs on live, and I am, and I have already requested from managers to basically schedule this for the last week, this last week, not this one, but the following one, to schedule the remainder, so the four of the five stations. I've received confirmation from WPFW that it's going to happen, and essentially, yeah, so we have those, you know, all the K, the A, K, and T to basically give me confirmation. And so I'm not saying that we won't have that. What I'm saying is I'm working on it.
I don't know how much this is.
Okay, nor am I implying that, Renee. I'm just trying to make a clear distinction between being told to go online and not being able to listen to terrestrial radio as reflecting up in our Bible. So I'm not implying that that's what you're doing. Okay. So I'm a go to some questions.
Excuse me, somebody's line is still open. Could
yeah, somebody's line is still open. I don't know who it is.
All right.
If it's okay.
Paulina would like the stock, please.
Okay.
Angela to the stock.
Jonathan,
hold
on
a second. Hold on a second. So I heard Janine. Then I heard Angela. Then I heard Paulina. And then I heard Jonathan. Anyone else? Steve to the stack.
Raymond.
Then I heard Steve. And who else?
Raymond.
Carolyn, because you asked me to defer my question.
Was that Raymond?
Yes.
No,
okay,
Carolyn.
Okay, I got you, Raymond. All right, somebody needs to mute. Please be respectful of people speaking. And please mute yourself.
No.
If you're on the phone,
just the handle.
Star 6. Star 6 to mute and unmute. Okay.
Lawrence, Carolyn Virgin on the stack, please.
Okay, Carolyn, I got you. Okay, so we exhaust this stack, and Renee has been so kind to hang in there with us. So we exhaust this stack. Anybody? Oh, Serene. Okay, anybody else from the committee wants to be on the stack after Janine? Okay.